I cried out the demon's name for the third and final time, my throat burning and raw. The word came out garbled and imperfect, and in a sinking moment I feared the worst. But Kalshazak howled again and hurled itself ferociously to the floor, thrashing its limbs about like a poisoned bug, raging and tearing great swathes of the carpet. I sagged myself, and the weariness came over me, threatening to black me out. "What are you doing?" Victor said, his voice rising to a high-pitched shriek. "What are you doing?" He was staring at the demon in horror, backing slowly towards the doors out. "Kill him! I am your master! Kill him! Kill him!" The demon howled in rage, turned its burning glare to me, and then Victor, as though trying to decide who to devour first. Its eyes settled on Victor, who went pale and ran for the doors. "Oh, no, you don't," I muttered, and I uttered the last spell I could manage. One final time, on the last gasps of my power, the winds rose and lifted me from the earth. I hurtled into Victor like an ungainly cannonball, driving him away from the doors, past the demon as it made an awkward lunge at us and towards the railing of the balcony. We fell in a confused heap at the edge of the balcony that overlooked the room beneath, full of dark smoke and the red glow of flame. The air had grown almost too hot to breathe. Pain jolted through my hip, more bright and blinding than anything I had ever imagined, and I sucked in a breath. The smoky air burned and made me choke and gasp. I looked up. Fire was spreading everywhere. The demon was crouching between us and the only way out. Over the edge of the balcony, there was only chaos and flame and smoke. Strange, dark smoke that should have been rising, but instead was mostly settling on the floor like London fog. The pain was too great. I simply couldn't move. I couldn't even take enough breath to scream. "Damn you!" Victor screamed. He regained his feet and hauled me up towards his face with berserk strength. "Damn you!" he repeated. "What happened? What did you do?" "The fourth law of magic forbids the binding of any being against its will," I granted out. Pain was something tight around my throat, making me fight to speak the words. "So I stepped in and cut your control over it, and didn't establish any of my own." Victor's eyes widened. "You mean..." "It's free," I confirmed. I glanced at the demon. "Looks hungry." "What do we do?" Victor said. His voice was shaking, and he started shaking me, too. "What do we do?" "We die," I said. Hell, I was going to do that anyway, but at least this way I get to take you out with me. I saw him glancing at the demon, then back to me, eyes terrified and calculating. "Work with me," he said. "You stopped it before. You can stop it again. We can beat it together and leave." I studied him for a moment. I couldn't kill him with magic. I didn't want to. And it would only have brought a death sentence on my head in any case. But I could stand by and do nothing. And that's exactly what I did. I smiled at him, closed my eyes, and did nothing. "Fuck you, then, Dresden," Victor snarled in response to me. "It can only eat one of us at a time, and I'm not going to be the one to get eaten today." And he picked me up to hurl me towards the demon. I objected with fragile tenacity. We grappled. Fire raged. Smoke billowed. The demon came closer, lightning eyes gleaming through the hell-lit gloom. Victor was shorter than me, stockier, better at wrestling, and he hadn't been shot in the hip. He levered me up and almost threw me, but I moved quicker, whipping my right arm at his head and catching him with a flailing free end of Murphy's handcuffs, breaking his motion. He tried to break away, but I held on to him, dragged him in a circle to slam against the guardrail of the balcony, and we toppled over. Desperation gives a man extraordinary resources. I flailed at the balcony railing and caught it at the base, keeping myself from going over into the roiling smoke below. I shot a glance below me and saw the glistening brown hide of one of the scorpions, its stinging tail held up like a mast of a ship cutting through smoke at least 4 feet deep. The room below was filled with angry, clicking, scuttling sounds. Even in a single desperate glance, I saw a couch torn to pieces by a pair of scorpions in less time than it took to take a breath. They loomed over it, their tails waving in the air like flags from the back of golf carts. Hell's bells. Victor had grabbed onto the railing a little above me, and to the left, and he stared at the oncoming demon with a face twisted with hatred. I saw him drawing in a breath and try to plant a foot firmly enough to free one hand to point at the oncoming demon to draw some kind of magical attack or defense. I couldn't allow Victor to get out of this. He was still whole. If he could knock the demon down, he might still slip out. So I had to tell him something that would make him mad enough to try to take my head off. "Hey, Vic," I shouted. "It was your wife. It was Monica that ratted on you." The words hit him like a physical blow. His head whipped around towards me, his face contorted in fury. He started to say something to me. The words of a spell meant to blow me to bits, but the toad demon interrupted him by rearing up its head with an angry hiss and snapping its jaws down over Victor's collarbone and throat. Bone broke with audible snaps, and Victor squealed in pain, his arms and legs shuddering. He tried to push his way down, away from the demon, and the creature's balance wobbled. I gritted my teeth and tried to hold on. A scorpion leapt at me, brown and gleaming, and I drew my legs up out of reach of the pincers, just barely. "Bastard!" Victor cried, struggling uselessly against the demon's jaws. There was blood running down his body, fast and hot. The demon had hit an artery, and it was simply holding on, wavering at the edge of the balcony as Victor struggled and started kicking at my near hand. He hit me once, twice, and my balance wavered, my grip slipping. A quick glance below me showed me another scorpion ready to jump at me, this one closer. "Murphy," I thought, "I should have listened to you." If the scorpions didn't kill me, the demon would. If the demon didn't, the fire was going to kill me. I was going to die. There was a certain peace into thinking that. In knowing that it was all about to be over, I was going to die. It was as simple as that. I had fought as hard as I could, done everything I could think of, and it was over. I found myself, in my final seconds, idly wishing I could have had time to apologize to Murphy, that I could apologize to Jenny Sills for killing her daddy, and that I could apologize to Linda Randall for not figuring out things fast enough and saving her life. Murphy's handcuffs lay tight and cold against my forearm as monsters and demons and black wizards and smoke closed in all around me. I closed my eyes. Murphy's handcuffs. My eyes snapped open. Murphy's handcuffs. Victor swung his foot at my left hand again. I kicked with my legs and hauled with my shoulders to give me a second of lift. I grabbed Victor Sell's pant leg with my left hand. With my right, I flicked the free end of the handcuffs around one of the bars of the guardrail. The ring of metal cycled around its hinge and locked into place. Then I started to fall back down. I hauled hard on Victor's leg. He screamed, a horrible, high-pitched squeal as he started to fall. Kalshazek, finally overbalanced by the added weight and leverage I had added to Victor's struggles, pitched over the balcony guardrail and onto the smoke below, crashing down to the floor, carrying Victor with him. There was a rush of scuttling, clicking sounds, a piercing whistle hiss from the demon. Victor's screams rose to something high-pitched and horrible until he sounded more like an animal, a pig squealing at slaughter, than a man. While I swung from the balcony, my feet several feet above the fray, held suspended in an acutely painful fashion by Murphy's handcuffs, one loop around my wrist, the other locked around the balcony railing, I looked down as my vision started to fade. I saw a sea of brown, gleaming plates of segmented, chitinous armor. I saw the scorpion's stinging tail flashing down over and over again. I saw the lightning eyes of Kalshazek's physical vessel and saw one of them pierced and put out by the flashing sting of one of the scorpions. And I saw Victor Sells, stuck over and over again by stingers the size of ice picks, the wounds foaming with poison. The demon ignored the pinchers and the stingers of the scorpions to begin tearing him apart, his face contorted in final agony of rage and fear. The strong survive, and the weak get eaten. I guess Victor had invested in the wrong kind of strength. I didn't want to watch what was happening below. The fires consuming the ceiling above were rather beautiful, actually, rolling waves of flame, cherry red, sunset orange. I was too weak to try to get out of this mess, and the entire thing had become far too annoying and painful to even consider anymore. I just watched the flames and waited, and noticed, oddly, that I was simply starving. And no wonder. I hadn't eaten a decent meal in Friday? Friday. You notice odd things in the final moments, they say. And then you start seeing things. For instance, I saw Morgan come through the sliding glass doors leading in from the outside deck, the silver sword of the White Council's justice in his hands. I saw one of the scorpions, now the size of a German shepherd, figure out the stairs, scuttle up them, and hurtle at Morgan. I saw Morgan's silver sword slash, snicker snack, and leave the scorpion in writhing pieces on the floor. Then I saw Morgan, his expression grim, his height making the fire-chewed balcony shudder, come for me. His eyes narrowed when he saw me, and he lifted his sword, leaning far over the balcony railing. The blade flashed bright silver in the firelight as it started to come down. Typical, was my last thought. How perfectly typical, to survive everything the bad guys could do and get taken down by the people whose cause I had been fighting for.